out there, oh, pieces calling in the bonds of love we meet for the world anew.
Welcome to Muffin Talk.
Kia ora and welcome to Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is a weekly radio program to which I invite guests to talk about their work and their passion for issues on community programs, social justice, Bible studies, or the Catholic Church. Today, I have invited Brother Kieran Fenn to a Zoom recording for our broadcast. Brother Kieran, a very warm welcome and hi to our radio program.
Kia ora, beate.
And this month, in the month of July, Brother Kieran has been giving presentations on the Psalms. So we'll have one more session on Monday. And as all sessions stand alone, you can also join if you haven't joined for the other three sessions on the Psalms. So Brother Kieran, the next session and the last one of the four-part series will be on the Psalms of Ascent. What are Psalms of Ascent? What does Ascent mean in the first place? Latin name.
Well, there are several theories. One is that the Levites would sing the 15 Psalms as they went up the 15 steps between the courtyard of the women and the entrance into the sanctuary. Then another one was that they were the psalms that were sung by the returning pilgrims from after the Babylonian exile. But you can tell that the walls of Jerusalem would not have yet been built because they had to build them when they got there. The theory that makes most sense are that they were a group of psalms that gradually came together and were sung by pilgrims as they made the journey to Jerusalem. And I think this probably has most value and most sense. It's a collection that has been put together for pilgrims to sing as they journey up to Jerusalem.
Ah, so it's a physical ascent.
A biblical ascent, yes, but also a historical ascent. Because I'm fairly sure this would have been what eventually happened. They were the songs of pilgrims who were on pilgrimage to Jerusalem. I like that because I made the same journey myself.
You once mentioned that the hills or anything that is higher has a very important meaning in anything with the scriptures. The Old Testament, proclaiming or praying on a hill is very important. Is that right?
Oh, well, you lift your eyes to Jerusalem when you actually are journeying towards it. You go up to Jerusalem. And, of course, at the highest point, you have God's temple, God's dwelling place. So, yes, you lift your eyes to the heights. I lift my eyes to the mountains. From whence shall come my help? Those are lines from one of the Psalms of Ascent.
Which means that when the people go up the mountain to Jerusalem and into the temple, they are the closest to God that they could get.
Yes, exactly. So therefore, they are to go up to Jerusalem.
So after having talked about the penitential Psalms, the Psalms of Ascent are positive Psalms?
Oh, very much so. But they're a really interesting collection of different types of psalms. And we've sort of looked at psalms 2 weeks back, the different types, and we have two thanksgiving psalms among the 15. We have four psalms of confidence and trust. We have three laments, inevitably. And then we have a royal psalm that celebrates David, no less, and it's the longest one of the lot. And then we have a song of Zion that celebrates the mountain, God's dwelling place. Then we have two hymns of praise, and then we have a couple of wisdom psalms. So this is like a bag of mixed sweets.
But it's not like a box of chocolate collection. It's not like a box of chocolate where you don't know what is in it.
That is so right. But there, it's a beautiful flavour. I think we've been using this image of psalms are to be tasted.
Yes. And tell me, when are they used? So you have all this variety. You said thanksgiving and lament. And
yes.
When are they used?
Well, Deuteronomy 16 says that three times a year you are to go on pilgrimage to appear before the Lord your God at a place that the good Lord will choose. Now, Moses is portrayed as seeing what is going to happen with the construction of the temple. And those three times are spelt out. Exodus 23 defines that there shall be a place of, you go up on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's the Feast of Passover. And that's the time of the barley harvest. This association with agricultural festivals. And then, of course, you are to remember Jews. March, April would be the time of Passover. And go up to celebrate the feast and remember your ancestors' journey from Egypt under Moses. And then the second time is the Feast of Weeks, 50 days later, Pentecost. The 50th day, and on that day, you have the celebration of the all-important feast of the gathering of the wheat harvest. That's May, June. And then the third feast is the Feast of Tabernacles, or booths, or huts. And it's held at the time of the ingathering of the grape and the olive harvest. And that's around about September, October. And Leviticus 23 tells you that you are to dwell in huts. And, of course, that's to remember your ancestors journeying in the desert. The practical side of it was to make sure nobody is going to be nicking your grapes or olives. But actually, you can see, if you ever visit Jerusalem at that time, you'll find these huts that are out in the yards and so on, and also surrounding areas of crops. So, yes, three times you go up to celebrate the feast. Well, it's quite interesting how now, of course, we have the Hajj festival going on with Islam, very limited, of course, in numbers.
But you also have the pilgrimages in the Jewish tradition still. And I did an interview a few months ago about the pilgrimages and That's really interesting that it's in all three religions, but it's also in the other religions, that you have pilgrimages, that you have a time where you are walking and doing God's work, or sometimes it's a penitential, sometimes it's spiritual, sometimes both. And I think that the Psalms could be sung beautifully during that time.
Well, isn't it true that life itself is a journey? And, of course, we get this beautiful flow of blessing. Blessing, it actually does finish with blessing on those who make the pilgrimage, a blessing that's extended to those who study these psalms for their in the life, the pilgrimage of life, and a blessing on those who I'm sure are listening to this journey that we're doing now. So these 15 psalms are pilgrimage psalms for us, because we too are on a journey to the sacred dwelling place of the Lord who loves us.
Brother Kieran.
With hardships and also with dangers, right?
Brother Kieran, I love the line when he said, life is a journey and we need the blessing for the journey. Just like when you go out as a pilgrim, you're asking for a blessing from God. And it reminds me when you go to Mass and then the priest blesses you and you go out and spread the good news, so that you go out into your life, into your journey with a blessing that you've just received.
You have just jumped to Psalm 124, where at the very end of the journey, well, it's what you do. You jump to the end of things, right? But it's the end of the journey where the pilgrims gather and they pray together, and a blessing is given by the priest, and he blesses them and sends them off on their journey. And that's exactly what 124 does so beautifully, and sending pilgrims back home.
Yes.
Right. That's but that's the end. Let's go to the start.
Okay, right. Let's go to the start again.
Right. So at the start, in 120, you have an alien, someone in the diaspora, that diaspora dispersed from outside of the land, and lamenting the fact that they don't have access to the temple and to the Lord in the temple and to Jerusalem, the city of peace. He's living among people who hate peace. Woe is me that I dwell in the area of Meshach, which is near the Black Sea. It's a pretty long way away. And then also that I dwell among the tents of Kedar, the top of the North Arabian Peninsula. So among those who hate peace, who hate shalom. So here's a very unhappy dweller in diaspora. And then they set out on their journey. And we sort of get the journey all summed up in one psalm. And we have the first line that, I lift my eyes to the mountain, at Jerusalem, of course, the mountains. They're coming into sight after this long journey. And they remember this long journey. Where do we find help on it? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. This guardian who doesn't let your foot slip, and I shall always remember a young sister who was with us when we came to the Holy Land. Within days, we entered in a wadi, dried up riverbed, and we were walking along the edge of the water area, former water area. She was walking up the bank on shingle, and her foot slipped, and she broke her leg. Fortunately, there was some Jewish military practicing, and they were able to carry her out. They took her to the hospital, and she had to return back home. But they told us that had that happened in the past, all they could do as pilgrims and as travelers through the desert, give a little food and water and leave her to die.
Oh, my God.
That would have been the fate of people who had accidents on a journey such as that. This guardian of yours doesn't fall asleep and will not let your foot slip. Oh, dear, that has great meaning for me. But also in this journey story, the sun shall not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Just imagine the crossing of the desert's areas. So, yes, you get the sort of journey summed up very quickly. And then, of course, you get there. Oh, how I was filled with joy when the word went about, we are going up on pilgrimage to the house of God, remembering where it all started and the delight that now we're there, reaching the house of the Lord. And now our feet are standing within your gates, Jerusalem. The tribes of the Lord go up to pray for peace within the city walls. So they're entering into it. And they remember the past. They remember the time when Israel was under total domination, when the eyes of slaves look to their master, the eyes of the servant women look up to their mistress to do as we're told, otherwise we'll get beaten. So yes, the history, the past history does come to mind. And yes, they look with hope for deliverance under the hands of harsh rule. But the people cling to their covenant hope, God's hesed, and a sense that they are people of worth because of that covenant. That gives them their dignity. then Psalm 124, if the Lord had not been on our side, all the terrible things that could have happened, if the Lord had not been on our side, that was actually the speech of Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. He used those words back in Genesis when he fled from his oppressive father-in-law, Laban, who kept him really as a servant for 14 years to earn the love of Leah and Rachel. So, yes, that would come to mind. So it escaped from taskmasters. Then Psalm 128, happiness to those who walk in the way of the Lord. Yes, the way of the Lord, the journey to the Lord.
But it's also, you said, to walk. You know, it's not to stand still in the way. You're on the way, but you're walking. You're not stopping or you're looking back. And I think that is an important point, that you trust the Lord so much that you will go and you will walk in his way.
Oh, yes. Psalms of trust, we've had a good number of them. We have four of them. In fact, most of the Psalms, the majority of the different types, are these Psalms of confidence or trust.
Yeah.
Walking in the way of the Lord, right? Yes. So, yes, journeys, roads across our lives, our life. A worthwhile destination makes any journey worthwhile. Yes. What is the destination of our life? So these pilgrim people of God, we too are pilgrims, a pilgrim church, footsore and travel weary with a fair bit of grime that happens. Well, I mean, isn't that an image of the journey we're all on?
Yes.
And I look at our church and I see the struggle for the new birth, because I think there are so many things telling us it is time to change. So these pilgrimage psalms are rather good.
But again, you put this, express the same thought, that we are going through struggles, but there's time for change. So which means that there's hope at the end of the tunnel. And so I think that is the important point, because a lot of people might tend to stopping on the way and saying it's too hard. But if you have the destination, do you trust that you'll reach the destination somehow? It might not be the way that you like to reach it, might be a different way, but that gives hope.
Oh, yes. And we have to be a people of hope, that somehow out of all mess, something good will arise.
Yeah.
So, yes, we continue our journey to Psalm 131, and that's a psalm we've already met, a lovely one. And in the midst of it all, I have calmed and quietened my soul like a child that is quieted at its mother's breast. And, of course, it's so beautiful. Israel trusts in the Lord as a child trusts in its mother. And I'm pleased to see a beautiful feminine image of God in that one. So now and for always, this trust will remain. So over the years, the discipline of seeking and waiting for the Lord in the long journey that was the journey of these people, singing, praying, rejoicing in the goodness of the other people around them, your own people. And that is so important within the city of Jerusalem, meeting and experience the goodness of other people around you. And that leads to this peace and tranquility of heart. And then you have a long psalm. The longest of them all is 132, which is the song that speaks of that promise that's made to David. And I will not enter my house until I have built a place, a dwelling place for the Lord. That's the story in 2 Samuel. And it's the fidelity of God to David, David to God, the building of the temple, which will come in time with Solomon, I will not find a place to rest until I find a resting place for the Lord. I like that. And then, of course, the Lord speaks to David a sure oath from which he will not turn back. And for us, this makes this whole series a promise of the Messiah. One of the sons of your body I will set on your throne. And that's for us such an important part of the psalm, the coming of Christ and what that means to us. So yes, the eternal dwelling, the eternal promise of God to be with the people of Israel. And that makes it, that's rather beautiful. The faithfulness of God to David and of God to Zion. Then we have this wonderful expression of the community sense. And it's a beautiful little psalm. See, the length of these psalms are normally 8 verses or under until we get to that one long psalm with regard to David. That actually makes it up to 18 verses.
Oh, and so you just
small.
And you just mentioned there are community psalms and individual psalms. Is that the same for the psalms of ascent?
These ones are very much focused as a group.
Okay.
And of course, not only are they focused as a group, they remember, and anybody on a pilgrimage, if they're only by themselves, they always think back to home, to the wife, to the children, and so on. So that's why you get those psalms about your wife like a fruitful vine in the inner room of your house, and having lots of, well, the sons are pretty handy, because if you meet at the city gate and you're in a court case or you've got a difficult situation, having all those big boys in the back of you, Jesse, and all his boys too, that type of image about, you know, a fruitful warrior with plenty of arrows in his quiver, right? That image is used, and it's rather beautiful, but it's quite lovely because you remember the family back at home and the longing that's tied up with that. So, yes, I know that, because I think when I was away for a few years overseas, whether it was in the United States studying, whether it was in Israel with the people that I was with, went back to do the study with, you had that so same feelings of comfort, security with people that you know, and but missing, like anything, the people back at home.
Yeah.
So, yes, all of those are the feelings of pilgrims. And then finally, we come to the end, and at the end, well, we have this psalm, Praise in the Night is the heading for it, and then a psalm of ascent, because psalms of ascent are all, these all 415 psalms have got that title above them. That gives them the unity as a group. And then we pray to it. At the very end, we stand by night in the house of the Lord. So what do we do before we go home? We gather together and worship. And we lift up our hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. Yes. May the Lord, the maker of heaven. Here's the blessing from the priest. May the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. Now that's the closing of these 15 psalms of ascent, the blessing spoken on the departing pilgrims.
Yes.
So it's a beautiful journey, isn't it? And it's absolutely life. It's life, everything. And the beautiful, all so many life issues there.
Yes.
The longing to be somewhere, the journey, the safety that is placed on people from the good Lord, and then the memories tied up with the place that you're in, and the solemnity and the history and the beautiful background to everything that's there. And then finally, we got to go home. And then the blessing.
And you just said the memory and the history. The other day, a Jewish person told me that in Hebrew, the word for history is the same word as memory.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? Yes, so expressive.
Yes, but the memory is really quite a personal one, whereas the history as I understand it, it's like the memory of many people put together and are more like a neutral, try to be neutral, but history is never neutral because you always miss out some perspectives. But it's as trying to get as many perspectives of different people from different sides together. But I think that's that is also making up our history as Christians. We have our memory and we are reminded of do this in memory of me with Jesus, but still we have our actual history that we can't just forget and we have to live with it. And it's like what you say, you're, even if you're a pilgrim in a new country, you still have your history and your memory with you.
Yes. And I think that for us, I like that line you used, the memory is incarnated, and we call it real presence. The Eucharist is the food for the pilgrims on their journey. And the thing about the Eucharist, you know, I think more and more, I think that we talk about real presence. I think we have to ask ourselves, is that real presence making us more Christ-like in our relationships with one another and in the journey of life that we're on? Is the real presence of Jesus Christ expressed in the manifestation in our lives of his vision and values? I don't think we can continue just placing real presence as worship up there. I mean, did Jesus ask us to adore him or to be him? And I think that that's something that really needs to come through.
And especially when you look at so many parts of the world where there is no Mass celebrated or where Mass is celebrated, but people can't participate due to the pandemic. And we still have to keep these people in mind or don't have the chance like we have that we can go and participate in Mass every week, every day, even if you like. If you're in Auckland, you have always a Mass somewhere every day.
Isn't it an interesting thing we call God's own country? Yes, but again, isn't that the truth of life's journey? There are ups and downs, and that's why I think if we haven't got the access to the Eucharist, and I think Tom O'Loughlin has got that wonderful line about you can't send an apple by email. So, the Eucharist. So people are now feeding themselves, I hope, if they would, on the Word. Remember, even when we were in lockdown, the number of times people said that they went to find a good homilist.
Yes, exactly.
Who could actually speak and make the Word the feeding source for them on their journey. Today, by irony, is the Gospel of the first reading of Wednesday is the feeding with the manna.
Yes.
The manna and the quail in the Exodus experience. And there's a great model journey, isn't it?
Yes. And thank you very much for bringing this series of the Psalms close to us, because we realize that how important the Psalms are and how human they are. And then
I love that human.
So we'll have one more session, and in that session we'll talk about the Psalms of Ascent, but we'll also do a wrap-up of Psalms. So if somebody wants to get the Psalms in a nutshell, that's the time to come, the last session of this series. And thank you very much, Brother Kieran, for bringing that close to us. It's been wonderful. And so just for those who haven't participated yet, so it's on the next Monday, 26th of July, from 7 to 8:30 p.m. And that is via Zoom. So no matter where you are in the world, you can tune in as long as you have internet and a computer and or another device that is similar. And we always include some music from Father Chris Skinner from his CD about Psalms, and that's a wonderful combination because Psalms are traditionally sung, right? All events are on my website at www.studyjoy.nz, and for more information or registration, contact info@studyjoy.nz. But Thank you very much, Brother Kieran, and I'll see you on Zoom again next Monday and for the last part of the series on the Psalms. Thank you.
All right. Have a good week.